Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday, and here we're talking about DocumentDB stored procedures with Andrew Liu. How's it going?
Yep, it's great. Thanks for having me here.
So stored procs, when I think stored procs, I kind of think old school SQL, you know, what does that bring to a world of NoSQL databases that are world scale?
So this is actually pretty cool. A few nuances that are different from SQL is we made a bet on JavaScript, so you have a full-blown programming language to implement these.
That's cool.
Part of this reason why is because, well, when you're dealing with JSON data, JSON is JavaScript's object notation. You know, JavaScript is very natural to interact with this data.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I think is really cool is a lot of NoSQL databases, they relax, you know, transactions a lot, right? They give you transactions, ACID transactions around a single document. Mm. And what we found is this is really hard to program against, right? And so if you want to get ACID transactions across multiple documents, well, this is what we intended stored procedures to give you. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is really cool.
It makes me feel a little bit like there's NoSQL databases, without mentioning any names, mm-hmm. that are nice for medium, small applications, but when you need to get serious, you know, when mm-hmm. enterprise work needs to get done, the reality of transactions happens, and yep. those tend to fall down.
Yeah, yeah. I can even show you a use case. So what I have here is I have a sample data set in my DocumentDB account, mm-hmm. And what it is it's a product catalog.
Okay.
And let me load this real quick.
Okay.
And so basically what I have done here is I've built a data set that is a product catalog containing things like, you know, bike frames, helmets, jerseys.
Sure.
And what I want to do with this product catalog is I want to add the functionality of, let's say, reviewing the item, setting a rating.
Right.
And in order to do this, what I want to do is I want to create a review document with a comment, as well as update, you know, let's say, what is the rating from 0 to 10, how many reviews does this particular product has. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is I'm updating one document, and I am writing a new document. And what I want to do is I want to make this happen transactionally so that I don't just, you know, update the rating without having a review underneath,
right.
or create a dangling review comment that doesn't actually affect the product.
And it might sound like a small thing, but we've all had that experience. We've gone to a website and we've seen, like, well, there's three comments here and the count says five. Like, what's going on? Inconsistently, right. it's bad for a number of reasons.
Yep. And so let me jump into the stored procedure for doing this. So here I'm in the Azure portal. I'm going to our Script Explorer. Mm-hmm. And I've written a quick stored procedure for applying this review.
Okay.
Now, a couple things to really know about stored procedures is, number one, because we've optimized around the use case for transactions, these work best when you have some kind of, you know, write operation. If you have strictly, let's say, a sequence of reads, mm-hmm. this is actually best implemented on the client SDKs.
Hmm.
Now, within the stored procedure, what we have here is I take in a set of parameters, so what product I want to update, who the reviewer is, what kind of rating, and you know, what the reviewer's comment is, right?
Okay.
I do some validation, and basically I'm going to do two things. I'm going to create the review document, and I'm going to update the product document. Within this, these helper functions, it's pretty simple, right?
All I do is... Are those helper functions also stored procedures, or are they literally just helper functions within the larger named stored procedure?
Those are just JavaScript functions that I have embedded into the stored procedure.
Okay.
And this is actually a really cool thing about also using JavaScript is the Java ecosystem is humongous.
Yeah.
So the number of JavaScript libraries out there that you can embed into a stored procedure, let's say if you want to bring in, you know, a popular JavaScript machine learning library, you can actually then embed that
Seriously?
Into the stored procedure because we have a full-blown JavaScript runtime running behind
wow.
the scenes.
So they really, I mean, then it's then enlisted into the transaction and either worked or it didn't and you'll take care of stuff.
That's correct.
That's great. So I want to bring Moment.js or whatever makes me happy in there to do work. I can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So the way our API works is we have a bunch of CRUD and query operations. These methods, you know, create a document, just
sure.
create a document, pretty straightforward. But one thing to note about the JavaScript runtimes we host is DocumentDB is a multi-tenant service. We do need to govern the resources to make sure, you know, one tenant doesn't cause problems for other tenants.
Right.
And so what we do is we actually bound the execution of these stored procedures to a set number of CPU and time. And in order to do, let's say, long-running transactions, if you want to go beyond, like, we give you plenty of budget for most day-to-day operations, mm-hmm. but if you want to do something very, very sizable, what we do is we ask you to build a continuation model. Mm-hmm. An example of a continuation model is, let's say I want to delete a very, very large set of documents transactionally.
Right.
What I might do here is I will delete a set, I will then return a boolean to back to the client-side application, and if the client-side application sees that that boolean is true and knows, mm-hmm. hey, that's a signal that I didn't finish, I'm going to run this again. Now, if the boolean returns false, that means there's actually more time and CPU budgeted for this execution, so you can continue running.
So you're chunking those big things, those big operations? Is that what you're doing? You're chunking
yeah.
them? Like let's say we have a million to do, and we'll do them 10,000 at a time or 100,000 at a
That's
time?
That's correct.
And if the whole thing failed on the last page, would mm-hmm. it roll back everything?
No. So that is something to build into your continuation model. And mm-hmm. there are ways for techniques for doing this. But basically, each run of the stored procedure, that gets applied transactionally.
Oh, OK.
And just to kind of make this easy, as a signal for the user to know when do they need to kick out and return a message to the client, mm-hmm. Each of these CRUD operations return this true-false boolean is accepted. And what I do here is, if a CRUD operation was not accepted, then if I throw an exception, this is the signal to roll back. Whenever an exception is thrown, all of the logic within the stored procedure is rolled back. Mm-hmm. And this can be really nice for doing some validation. So an example is if I've already created that review document in the function above, let's say now I want to update the product document and I couldn't find it. Rather than having this dangling review document, I can now just roll this back and say, hey, ignore everything I've done in here. You know, I want to fail this because of, mm-hmm. I want to roll back because of this validation check.
And to make sure I get the language right and people understand as well, when we say rolled back, it's as if it never happened. There aren't compensating transactions, right?
Right, right.
I'm not going to, if I'm adding something, like if I'm doing like finance, if I'm transferring money, mm-hmm. And that fails, it's like it never happened at all. It's not that it failed and then I transferred it back with a compensating transaction.
That's correct. So at the beginning of the execution of the stored procedure, what we do is we actually take a snapshot of your database. Mm. And then at the end of when it completes, mm-hmm. if you do, you know, let's say you don't want to fail it or roll it back, you don't throw an exception, mm-hmm. what we do is we apply all of those mutations all at once at the end of the execution. So that's the equivalent to a commit.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now, some things to also note about this in terms of just best practices. I have seen, you know, a lot of folks, if you're coming from, let's say, a Java background like I came from or a .NET background, you might not be used to the control flow of mm-hmm. JavaScript. And JavaScript, I mean, it really embraces async operations, right? And so one of the main things to point out, I think, for if you're new to JavaScript and new to writing stored procedures, is make sure that when you do the control flow for the script, make sure that you know line it up in callbacks, don't fire a bunch of async operations all at once. Mm-hmm.
If you're bounding your CPU, then those async operations will just fly away and then eventually you'll just slap them down and you won't know whether they happened or not?
Right, so it'll be very hard to control the I/O and understand what's going on. So in this case, if you want to perform this I/O sequentially, you'll want to make sure that you follow the callback convention. Mm-hmm. We also do, as a matter of chance, since this is implemented all actually on Chakra Core, our open
Chakra
source.
Chakra Core, the open source JavaScript library that
yes.
we use.
The JavaScript runtime that we use, mm-hmm. We have full ES6 compatibility. So should you want to,
cool.
you know, use promises or something else to alter the control flow or any of the other ES6 functionality, which I think is really awesome mm-hmm. In the JavaScript world, we do have that available. One of the other cool things about this is our JavaScript runtime isn't just for stored procedures. We give you transaction semantics around triggers. So if you want to apply, let's say, a JavaScript script attached to a CRUD operation, and this might be like updating, let's say, a metadata document, and you want to have that happen transactionally. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to do user-defined functions and augment our query language, we also let you use the JS runtime for that. So an example is in that product catalog, I had a bunch of documents which had a weight. Those weights were in grams, and let's say I want to present back to the user in a product listing page. Mm-hmm. I want to show them this in pounds. I can do this conversion and then embed this into a SQL query.
And now anyone who's in that collection can use that in their stored procedures and build on it and whatever. So yes. your developers could build a whole library of user-defined functions that they could all then exploit within their stored procedures.
Yes. So this will get embedded in the SQL query. And then as part of the stored procedure, you can run these SQL queries. And so you can include the UDF, if you choose to, as part of the select clause or the where clause.
This seems like such a nice compromise. And I don't mean compromise in an everyone loses way, but like literally everyone wins, because you've got enterprise developers with a familiarity for things like stored procs, UDFs, SQL, and you've got the new generation of people that want to push JSON around and want an unstructured database and they want world scale and they want it for free. Mm-hmm. You're giving, for lack of a better word, both the young people and the older people what they want to make applications that are going to run at huge scale.
Yes. And speaking of world scale, I mean, one of the things that DocumentDB has really cool is all of the partitioning is built into the server side itself. You know, all of the partitions are transparent, right? Mm-hmm. All you need to define is a partition key. One thing to note about stored procedures is we do need to have some scope on where that transaction runs. And so we scope these to the partition key. So when you make a request from the SDK, what you'll want to do is put into the request options what partition key you want to run this transaction on, mm-hmm. and that is the scope for the transaction. Something to then call out from that is, as a user, when you're thinking about how you want to partition your data to really kind of leverage the scale-out capability, mm-hmm. is your choice of partition key should reflect what kind of transactions you want to do. So in the context of, let's say, a product catalog, I know that I can scale out perhaps by choosing a partition on maybe the product category. I know that my transaction scope will fit within that product category. Let's say I'm just reviewing a single product, mm-hmm. and creating review documents. That'll fit well. But this is a design consideration you'll want to think about upfront. So I guess I'll walk you through this stored procedure, run it, and kind of sure. just call some things out.
Yeah, well, let's see it run as we end here.
So I basically created two functions, one to create a doc, one to update a doc, mm-hmm. Fairly straightforward.
You're using different objects like collection. Are those objects just intrinsic and just available always?
Say
for
that
example,
one more time.
Scroll down a smidge.
Yes.
You said collection.createDocument. Where is collection coming from?
Yes. So the all the CRUD operations come from a context object.
There it is.
And so the way the API is you can get the current collection, and this will reveal all of the CRUD and query operators. Mm-hmm. You can also get the response, and this is where you can change the response and say, hey, this is what I want returned at the end of the execution of this store proc.
Cool. And we can run it and test it right here?
Yes. So let me grab a product real quick from our product catalog, and let's add a review.
Yeah.
So let's say I want to review this helmet, and the product number is HLU509. This is what my stored procedure is expecting in the body,
all right,
or in the parameter. I go to review product. I will go down here to...
A little challenging on a small screen.
Yes.
Looks fine on a big screen.
Looks good on a... higher resolution.
Yeah. All right. So there's your inputs.
So our inputs, what we're expecting here is a product number, the reviewer. So we're going to say Scott really loves this helmet. He's going to give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
And he's going to say, this thing rocks. We execute. And assuming that, I got all the inputs right. What we'll see here below is the response. So what we've done is we've created a review object as well as we've updated the product.
Yep.
And so in the product itself, what you'll see here as
there
part
it
of it is the new score. So we've added a review. We calculated the new score. And this is kind of the beauty of JavaScript, right? Like, it's a full-blown programming language. You can have fairly complex logic within this.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're learning all about stored procedures at world scale with Azure DocumentDB here on Azure Friday.